listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds." Well, what about an intelligent consistency? You see, here at Straight Outta Vegas headquarters, we pride ourselves on consistency. That's why you can count on us 6 days a week. And as far as ghosts and goblins and hobgoblins, we'll leave that to Ralph Waldo. By the way, what team did he play for? On that note, welcome back to another edition of Straight Outta Vegas. RJ Bell is on reconnaissance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Now, this is the weekend edition of Straight Outta Vegas. You know, Straight Outta Vegas, there's Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Channel 83, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this, as RJ Bell says, we promise to deliver the Vegas truth to you every Saturday night. This is Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. By the way, before we dive in, if you had maximum security in today's derby, I'm sorry. If you had Country House, chalk it up to clean living, devotion to the game we'll see in church. At the end of the show, we're going to address this, of course, along with our best bets. We've really got a packed show tonight. And all I can say is it was pandemonium in the books after that reversal. Feel sorry for a lot of players. Heard one guy say, "It's not fair." Well, fair? That's what you pay your cabbie when you reach your destination. We'll get to that later. All right, I want to dive right in, and we're going to cue up a cut here, because before I get to the Boston-Milwaukee series, there was a cut the guys had this week, and Brad Powers and RJ, Brad talked about Brad. Brad Powers told us about Stevens, you know. See, when a team is a favorite, they're supposed to win. But we all know that doesn't always happen. But for the record, the Celtics, under the direction of the former Butler genius, that'd be Brad Stevens, they've been about as close to a sure thing as there can be. Let's have a listen.
I mean, one thing I love about Brad Stevens, takes care of business. As a favorite in the playoffs, Boston is 19-3 straight up. Believe it or not, RJ, 19-3 against the spread. They win, they cover when they're supposed to.
Wow.
Playoff favorite.
Boston, with Stevens as coach in his career,
yep,
19-3 against the spread as a playoff favorite.
Yep.
Wow.
You know, you've heard the old adage, good teams win, great teams cover. And when it matters most in the postseason, it's true. Prior to last night, the Celtics have been money as a favorite, 19-3 straight up and against the spread. Oh, snap. Not so fast, my friend. Last night, not only did they not get the cover, not only did their opponent, Milwaukee, get the cover, they got the win outright. The Bucks win again on the road, 123-116. So let's take a deeper dive into this matchup as Game 4 looms on Monday. Looms very large for the host Celtics. Sleepy, I don't know if I was right or wrong. We're going to find out. All I can say is this is very revealing. As we sit here at 11:04 p.m. Pacific time on May 4th, the Bucks are -625 to win this series. Celtics +425 coming back. I feel there's extremely good value on the Celtics. The Celtics have already beaten Milwaukee once on the road, and they just got to win Monday to, you know, retain home court advantage. But Game 3 was an absolute train wreck for the Celtics. Not only did Milwaukee outscore Boston in the paint 53-24, Milwaukee drained 15 threes, Boston committed 18 turnovers, and Milwaukee converted those 18 turnovers into 28 points, and Boston's bench was outscored 42-16. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, that was the play. But by the way, Giannis, that Greek freak, that guy they call the Greek freak, nothing. 32 points. He made 16 free throws, 13 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 blocks. He's averaging, by the way, the Greek freak, 29-11 for the playoffs. And, you know, the Bucks got a simple formula. We're going to let you shoot threes, but you're not getting any layups. And we're going to do our best to not let you shoot free throws. Now, Boston made a ton of free throws. And one of the reasons, Sleepy, I liked Boston in this series. And we all know that last year they beat the Bucks without Gordon Hayward, without Kyrie Irving. So deductive reasoning, you know, why wouldn't they do it again this year? But I, you know what? I may have overlooked Milwaukee, Sleepy. And this man's NBA, basketball is about shooting threes and playing defense. There are very few teams that did this better than Milwaukee during the regular season. Milwaukee led the NBA in opponent field goal percentage. That's carried over into the playoffs. As for threes, only the Rockets make more threes than Milwaukee. Milwaukee won the most games in the NBA this season, and they won 45 of them by double digits. Only seven other teams in history of the NBA have done that. And every one of them went on to win the title. One last thing, and the reason I think Boston can right the ship Monday, they need a big effort out of Tito Horford. He has got to be the one to put the speed bump in front of Giannis because he's got the size of a center. He's got the mobility of a forward. But the Bucks, Sleepy, they're now 5-0 against the spread their last four road games, including the regular season, and they're 6-1 against the number during the playoffs.
Well, the Celtics right now, Bernie, from what I see, they're playing with fire because they're playing with the pace that the Bucks like. Look at the last two games that Boston's lost. Tons of points. Game one, very low scoring. I think Boston at home can control the tempo. 221, Bernie, for a total. I think Boston controls the tempo, really slows it down, plays the style that they need. I like that game under the total a lot.
We're going to be reviewing our best bets at the end of the show, and my game, my best bet will be around that game. You'll have to wait till Monday. I will say this, though. Of all the remaining teams in the playoffs, only two above 500 against the spread. Milwaukee, way ahead of the pack, 52-34-2 against the spread, including the playoffs. Not bad. All right, let's talk about this team, the Golden State Warriors. Excellent game tonight, by the way. Another overtime game. And in this cut, RJ gives some facts and figures about Kevin Durant and his history with the Houston Rockets. But Fezzik points out that there are certain situations that greatly affect the effort and outcome that the Rockets bring based on sense of importance and necessity on any given situation. Let's take a listen.
In the Durant era, when the Warriors have been underdogs, 6-9 straight up, 7-8 against the spread. By the way, over under, two overs, 10 unders, three pushes. They tend, it seems, to play defense in these spots. Fez, 30 seconds, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to lean ever so slightly to Houston just because what's the handicap on Golden State? When they turn the switch on and they need it, they go ahead and perform and cover. When they don't need the game, which they don't need this one, it's very, very difficult to bet on Golden State. I will lean to Houston, even though that spread, RJ, wow, that's high. Houston laying 3.5.
You know, we talked about this off air, Sleepy. The Rockets were laying 3.5 and won by 5. I don't know what happened with that Curry layup at the end, but, and of course, overtime was where dogs go to die. And, you know, heading into the series, people were sort of down on the Warriors because they needed six games to get past the Clippers. Yeah, but I had the audacity and the nerve and the lunacy to think that Houston really might pose a threat. No, they're not going to, okay? I don't know how many games it'll take the Warriors to close them out, but they will. The Warriors just simply answer the bell. They've got championship DNA. They've got awareness. There's a reason the Warriors have won 76% of their games in the last five seasons. Pick your favorite Major League Baseball team, and let's give that some perspective. Sleepy, what's your favorite Major League Baseball team?
New York Mets.
Meet the Mets. Mm-hmm. Greet the Mets. If they'd won 76% of their games in the last 5 years, they would be averaging 123 wins a year. Let's move along. Nothing to see here. Good game tonight. I figured Houston would win, but big deal. Really, big deal. All right. Toronto and the Sixers. And Sleepy, credit to you. You have been a proponent of the Sixers all along. And Toronto, right on schedule. Playoffs roll around. They look like a drunk trying to cross an icy street. And just when it can't get worse, Pascal Siakam, he's doubtful tomorrow. He's got a right calf strain. How do you replace that 22-7? And I got to tell you, Kyle Lowry, I almost mispronounced his name because minus 28 the other night. How'd that work out? By the way, he finished the contest with 7 points, 2 of 10 from the field, 0 of 4 behind the arc, basically non-existent. Meanwhile, Kawhi Leonard, last time I ran a tongue from that place, Kyle and Kawhi. All right, let's move along. He had 33 points, 13 to 22. Here's what's going to happen, though. And by the way, the Raptors only averaging 103 points in the playoffs. This isn't going to bode well, all right? The series price right now, Philly's only minus 130, Toronto's plus 110. Philly 12-1 to go to the finals. They might do it. Toronto 12-1, could be some value there. Sixers tomorrow, get them at home, light line. Line's got me a little baffled. Sixers 3-0 against the spread in their last three home games. Jimmy Butler's been fantastic. Joel Embiid has been an absolute wrecking crew. And, you know, Toronto's got a couple of elite big men in Marcus Gasol and Serge Ibaka. Didn't matter. Embiid was a beast. You have any thoughts on this tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the line move is pretty much just because of Siakam and the fact that 76ers rolled the Raptors in the last game, Bernie. You know, when we get to the D block, I have a best bet with this game, but I have a very interesting stat that I know that you're going
to
love.
All right, look forward to that. Our best bets at the end. A lot of and here's why I want to give you credit, Sleepy, because you've been touting the Sixers for a while. And I don't know anybody, and I'm not involved in this series because I couldn't back either team. You didn't know about the health of Embiid. By the way, this lineup that the Sixers are marching out there, they've only been together 19 times all year, mm-hmm. but they're confident.
They are.
I'm looking forward to watching this game from a fan's perspective tomorrow because all the people that gave the edge to the series to Toronto, they had four reasons. Toronto was the team that was supposed to have had the team chemistry. They thought the 76ers lacked that. They weren't wrong. I mean, there were times, though, this year, even with studs like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, this is a great center point guard duo. They looked dysfunctional a lot this year. Secondly, the Sixers weren't fully healthy. We knew that. Embiid was, you know, I talked about him earlier a couple weeks ago with the Fred Sanford walk. Thirdly, the Raptors were the team that at one point had the depth, not so much. And the Raptors had great home court advantage. Should be an interesting game tomorrow. We'll talk about that. Best bets. And what was a great game last night? You know what? I really want to give it up to Denver and Portland because both of them, in their first round series, and by the way, I'm going to talk about this after the bottom of the hour, why the NHL playoffs are so much better than the NBA playoffs, even though there have been a couple of good games. Sleepy, 13 years in a row, not a single upset in the first round in the NBA. But give it up to Portland because after being swept by OKC during the regular season, four games to zip, they got it done. That's only happened three out of the last 37 times that situation has reared its head, meaning a team that sweeps its opponent during the regular NBA season loses in the playoffs. Denver defeated a very game, tough, experienced San Antonio team. So you put these two teams together on the floor. By the way, Denver, plus 230. As you pointed out before the show, Portland minus 310. This should be a great series. And the series probably very few people talked about the least might be end up being the most entertaining series. Give it up to Jusuf Nurkić. What did he play, 65 minutes last night? By the way, for the playoffs, he's averaging 24 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists. That was a terrific game last night. I look forward to their next game. The Blazers currently 3-1 against the spread in their last four home games. The over, by the way, 4-0 in Denver's last four road games, just to note that when they hit Game 5.
Last night, Bernie, I sat around in my car for about 3 hours listening to that game. I think it was about 3 hours, 38 minutes. I loved every minute of that. But I talked about this. I did a podcast, Bernie, and I said, if this game is one of those soul-crushing type of defeats for either team, it could really, really hurt them.
Yeah.
Sure enough, there we go. Overtime, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is going to hurt the Nuggets. Why, Bernie? They're not at home. If it were Portland that ended up taking the loss, they had the comfort of their fans, the comfort of being home. They can overcome that loss. I don't think Denver can. I think they're in a really bad spot here in the next game.
Since March 24th, Denver's been terrible. They're averaging 101 points a game, 28th in the NBA. Their field goal percentage was 44%, 27th in the NBA, three-point percentage, 29%, last in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But they're alive. Hey, great news. There's a quick and easy way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com and see how much you can save. On the other side, we've got a great guest. He comes to us from the Bay Area. You know him as Joe Fortenbaugh. The man is brilliant. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the GEICO Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas. We are back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Okay, at this time, I want to welcome in a gentleman I've known since his days in Las Vegas, and in a word, he's brilliant. He's currently with 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. You see him on national TV daily as a key fixture on Daily Wager. Let's say hello to Joe Fortenbaugh. Joe, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Bernie. How's everything with you, my man?
Terrific, terrific. 92 degrees today in Sin City. Do you miss that?
Well, as they say, it's a dry heat, Bernie. So 92 degrees isn't all that bad.
That's right, for May, even for May 4th. Joe, let's dive right into this. You're right there in the belly of the beast. Right now, the Warriors are, you know, minus 200 to win it all. And so basically you can make 50% on your money in about 43 days. Can you make a cogent case that that won't happen?
Yeah, you could. You absolutely could. I don't think you'd be able to sway the majority on any jury outside of a biased district like, say, Houston. But by and large, you could make a decent case, I would say. Two of the losses against the Los Angeles Clippers, those are losses that took place all season long. We saw over the last month of the season the home games against Dallas and Phoenix as double-digit favorites just completely lapsing mentally, especially on the defensive end, and showing up with very little fight whatsoever. Now, that happened in the Clipper series to an extent, but to see it happening four times in a seven-game series, it's what's going to be the true challenge here. Someone finding a way, any way, to defeat this team four times in seven games. Maybe they get complacent like we've seen before. I don't think it happens again because they're on another level in terms of who they're facing. This is not the opening round of the playoffs. But I do believe that maybe they get caught one more time. You still have to find a way to outplay them three other times in the next six games. And ultimately, I don't see that happening.
Talk about the Houston Rockets. Last year, the Rockets took them to seven. I know Chris Paul wasn't there at Game 7. But prior to the beginning of this series, Houston had actually beaten the Warriors 8 out of the last 12 and 4 out of 6 at Oracle. Does Houston have a shot, or are we just whistling Dixie here?
They do, but I think tonight was their best punch. I think they found a way to withstand the storm late, because they took advantage of a lot of good opportunities early in the game. They cleaned up the turnover messes to an extent, but I don't see them finding a way to continue that against the Warriors. Forget about how terrible Steph played and how average to below average Klay Thompson may have been. He played some decent defense, but offensively, he could not get it going there. Houston knows this team, and Houston's got some star talent, but they're gonna need to shoot the lights out. We saw games one and games two. They were 42% from deep in game two, and they came up short because of the mistakes. They are built, and I've been saying this here in the Bay Area for a little while. They remind me of the Moneyball Oakland Athletics. They are built on a spreadsheet, and they are built to win a large sample size like the regular season. It's something the A's have done before. They've had these great regular seasons, over 162-game samples. And in basketball, the Rockets in an 82-game sample. But once it gets to the playoffs, it's an entirely different beast. You need a second punch. You need a third punch. And I think that's Houston's biggest problem. They've got a big punch early, but if they don't have that, they don't have a whole lot else they can work with.
Joe, who, if not Houston, who poses the greatest challenge in your view in the remaining field?
All right, well, it depends on the matchup and a few other factors. I think Philadelphia is a very intriguing story because of what they bring to the table. A very talented big man in Joel Embiid. Back in the day, I mean, late 90s, and you can go back even further, but I just remember the big man heyday that I lived through, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You don't really have that anymore. It's a completely different day, completely different breed. But now with Joel Embiid, that's something that can pose a problem. So you take that, and then you look around at the rest of the star talent. I mean, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons. I know he's inconsistent with the shot, but if he ever puts it together, I mean, look out. That team is loaded. I think the coaching edge would still lie with the Warriors in that situation, but Philly poses the best physical threat. Maybe Milwaukee with home court and Giannis poses a big-time threat as well. I don't see it coming from Portland or Denver in the next round, although Portland is really turning some heads, in my opinion. Dame Lillard is finally going to start getting that ultimate superstar recognition he deserves.
With Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, and Daily Wager. Joe, the Warriors, when you include the regular season and the postseason, they're only 39-49-2 against the number. Do you anticipate finding value, fading them? You may not beat them outright, but do you find value in the future, and where might that value be?
Not necessarily in the playoffs. I think there's something to be said about what you're laying out for the regular season specifically. Look at how they've performed against the spread since the start of the Steve Kerr era. This is the fifth year of that. They were really good, really profitable in the first year. They were profitable in the second year. I think even the first year of Kevin Durant, they may have put something good up. But since then, it's been a disaster for two reasons. One, the books know Golden State money's coming. I mean, this is as obvious as can be. They know the public loves to bet this team. So these are huge numbers. And two, they don't treat the regular season, the Warriors that is, all that seriously. They have a lot of lapses throughout because they're resting players, because they're not focused, because it's tough to get charged up for game number 23 against Orlando. So ultimately, you know, to answer your question, that's where I'd land on that.
Wrapping it up with Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game, Daily Wager. Joe, I got to ask you. Kevin Durant, he's no longer an interloper. He's an integral part of this team. Now, is it a fait accompli? He's on his way out. Or is it possible he wakes up, finds religion, and says, wait a minute, we can four-peat. We can be Bill Russell Celtics. Is there any chance that he hangs around, Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I think so. It might not be the betting favorite, but I certainly think there's an opportunity. I don't know if he's truly 100% locked in on the final decision. I think he has an idea, and I think that idea may be New York, which a lot of people are speculating to, but I don't think he's 100% locked in, considering what the future does hold. You win this series with the way he's playing, you go on to win two more series, you put three rings together, you look at LeBron James and his legacy. I don't want to say it's in trouble, but I would say that it's hit a bit of a snag. If this is the third or the fourth act of LeBron James' career, I think there's a bit of an issue there if it's going to be four more years or so of this in L.A. I think that creates an opportunity for Durant to kind of rewrite history, but the only way to do that is to stack championships. I did this experiment the other day. People call up on the air, and you ask them, you know, how many titles did Jordan win? Everyone knows six. But when you ask him how many regular season MVPs he won, that's not as easy. A lot of people don't realize it's five. The point being, people don't remember the MVPs like they do the titles, and this Absolutely. Could be an opportunity Durant realizes late could help his legacy.
Joe, great stuff. I wish we had more time. Really appreciate you staying up late. Keep up the great job, Joe, to a grateful nation.
My pleasure indeed. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show, Bernie. I had a wonderful time.
Best to you, Joe. Talk soon. That is Joe Fortenbaugh. He's with 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, and you see him daily national TV on a show called Daily Wager. Why are the NHL playoffs so much more competitive, and by the way, thus providing great betting opportunities, than the NBA playoffs? I'm going to tell you why. But first, let's go to Brian Finley, the inimitable Brian Finley, with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. Saturday brought us a wealth of sports. Canelo Alvarez taking down Daniel Jacobs via unanimous decision to win the 160-pound middleweight title. Alvarez earned $36 million for the win, $35 actually for the win, an extra million from Daniel Jacobs for weighing over the limit. I guess that's what happens when you cheat the Jenny Craig diet. Meanwhile, the Rockets consumed the Warriors in a 126-121 Game 3 win in overtime. James Harden had 41 points, including an OT three-pointer. And Steph Curry kept blowing layups out there. In Major League Baseball, the Brewers unseat the Mets 4-3 in 18 innings. Ryan Braun had the game-winning RBI hit. Braun finished 6-for-8. No other player on his team had more than one hit. And the Royals had a 15-3 win against the Tigers. Alex Gordon with 5 RBI. And the Kentucky Derby turning into a post-race pandemonium situation as Maximum Security, who crossed the finish line first, was disqualified for interfering. And that bumped up Country House to the win. And he paid $132.40 for the win, which is the second highest payout in Derby history. And Bernie, as I send it back to you, I certainly missed a good bet there and didn't pick him.
easy to do it after the fact, Brian. But while I got you, here's a bet. Do you bet that the Golden State Warriors will finish it off? And, oh, by the way, here's the real question I want to ask you and Eric. Is this, quote, I say, quote, a dynasty in quotes, good for the NBA or not?
I think the dynasty is fantastic. I think it helps with TV ratings. I think the NBA's biggest problem is if the Warriors were on the East Coast, that would be the perfect scenario for them because so many people are going to sleep before the Warriors are playing. Now, dynasties are great for the NBA. You look at Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls and what that did to rev up the game on a worldwide attention scale. Steph Curry, all these guys, Kevin Durant, they all have special brands, and so they unify everybody. No matter if you follow them or you like them or not, they drive good brands and personalities.
All right, how about you, Eric? What are your thoughts
on
that question?
I think it's good for the NBA, guys. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's tiring, you know, it's the same old story, there's no parity, and that's the problem. But, you know, people tune in just to watch these guys lose in a way. It's like kind of like hate watching in a way.
So, yeah, well, hey,
you know, they're watching to watch, even if they're watching for, you know, personal purposes, whether a fan or if they're watching to in hopes of watching them lose, they're still tuning in. So that's always the end of the game, right?
Well, you nailed it there, Eric, because the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And when people hate, you've got the same emotion invested. So people will tune in to hope that they lose. And that can bring viewers as well. But I got to tell you, again, this is the 13th year. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Not a single upset in the first round of the NBA playoffs. But every year, the NHL, they really bring it. So why is it? Why is it that the NHL playoffs typically are better, and also for the underdog better, they cash so much more for the NHL better versus the NBA better? Two things, plumbers and pipe fitters and markers and grinders. Here's what I mean by that, all right? First of all, the last three NBA finals have between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, right? Well, Pittsburgh, they had won the last two Stanley Cups. They beat a different opponent both years. And when the Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks won twice in the last 6 years, they faced different opponents every single time. One of the times the Kings won the Stanley Cup, they were the 8th seed. In the NBA, the number one seeds were 66-5 since 1984. The number two seeds are 66-5. Meanwhile, in the NHL, you had two number 8 seeds knocked off in the first round this year. You had one, Tampa Bay, who was swept by a number 8 seed. Now, hockey is not a sport made up of just superstars and dream teams. The fact of the matter is, if a team can make the Stanley Cup playoffs, the team has a chance to lift the cup. And this is a sport where, more than any other sport, hockey is a game where any player can step up and win a series. I mentioned that great Pittsburgh Penguin team that won a couple of Stanley Cups. Who were their studs? Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. But when they won the Stanley Cup in 2017, it was a guy you probably never heard of, Patrick Hornquist. He scored the series-clinching goal. How about the L.A. Kings? We got listeners out there, 570 in L.A. You remember 2014? Who scored the cup-clinching goal? It wasn't Anze Kopitar. It wasn't Jeff Carter. It was a defenseman by the name of Alec Martinez. This guy put up 20 points the entire regular season, but he's going to be a legend in Los Angeles for a long time. He also, Alec Martinez, scored the goal that got the Kings into the finals and another overtime goal against the Chicago Blackhawks in the Western Conference Finals. The bottom line is the NHL playoffs are truly unpredictable. Why? Because will beat skill. There's three things I've uncovered, I think, that make sense, right? Because I watch the NBA playoffs, I watch NHL, I watch it all. But why is it the NHL playoffs just seem so much more hotly contested? Number one, you actually have better first-round matchups. Why do I say that? Because year in and year out, the first round of the NHL playoffs never failed to deliver. This year didn't disappoint either. The best team in the league, a team that tied the NHL record for wins in a season, 62. A team that won 30 games on the road. They were converting 28% of their power plays. They get swept by the number 8 seed. Swept. Can you imagine if that would ever happen? That would be the equivalent of the Clippers not only beating the Warriors, sweeping the Warriors. Are you kidding me? Number two, we really have no idea who's going to win the Stanley Cup. You pretty much know who's going to win the NBA title or at least play for it again in the finals. And ever since Kevin Durant signed with Golden State a few years ago, look, does anybody really not think the Warriors are going to be in the finals and they're not going to win it? The odds tell you that. But right now, you really don't have a clue who's going to make the cup final, let alone win it. The Columbus Blue Jackets and the New York Islanders swept their opening round series, but they could just get bounced like the Islanders just did by the Carolina Hurricanes. Literally, any team other than who I just mentioned, the Islanders, could win it. That can't be said for the NBA. There's a thing in the NHL called sudden death. Now, the NBA has overtime, but it's not sudden death overtime like the NHL. Sudden death overtime is always played at a crazy level of pace, a crazy intensity that beats you up physically and beats you up mentally. And that's where will beats skill. Playoff hockey is just the best when it comes to intensity. The other night, Dallas sent Nashville home in a 2-1 overtime thriller. The game was not only hard-fought, it was entertaining. You can't have sudden-death overtime in the NBA, but in the NHL, you have it. One final thing, just for fun. The NHL has, I think, the best announcer in all the sports, Doc Emrick, former Michigan guy. He should have a spot in the Smithsonian Institute because he's an absolute national treasure. Nobody can call a sport like he can. He's at his best when the action's up and down. The bottom line is, when the NHL playoffs start, there are always surprises, huge surprises. There are always huge upsets. And if you, in the first round, I've seen this year after year after year, if you blindly bet the dogs, you don't even have to know a blue line from a red line or a forecheck from wheat checks. The bottom line is, the dogs bark. The dogs went out right. The road teams went out right. It's commonplace. You don't have that in the NBA. Now, by the way, I love the NBA, but sorry, the NHL playoffs always manage to be a lot more drama-filled. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico, so go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. We cannot close this show down, of course, without our best bets, but also talking about what happened today at Churchill Downs. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas. We're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. In just a few minutes, we will get to our best bets. Both Sleepy and I have our weekly best bet. We've been doing extremely well in that category, as you know. But I want to talk about what happened today at Churchill Downs and carve it into a larger narrative. We have always on the show preached thinking long-term, big picture, make good decisions. Don't ever endanger your bankroll. Be prudent, be judicious. Treat this like a business. You work hard for your money. And today, what happened at Churchill Downs is evidence of why. By the way, you saw the downpour, and I know that after the fact, some folks were so upset they wish the race would have been canceled. Well, I will tell you that a Kentucky Derby has never been canceled because of weather, ever. It's never even been delayed. The only time they'll even consider delaying it is if there's lightning in the area. So at the end of the day, everybody's fired up, 120,000 mint juleps, a betting handle that topped 150 million, the greatest 2 minutes in sport, followed by 18 minutes of angst and uncertainty and confusion, and then history was made. There had never been a winner disqualified in the Kentucky Derby. What happened? Well, let me start by saying this. Let's say you did the research and you plunked down your hard-earned money on the horse that ran the best race, on the horse that came across the finish line first. And you knew. See, track conditions can be one of four classifications: fast, good, muddy, or sloppy. Well, with 45 minutes to go, the track was downgraded to sloppy. The maximum security, the horse that at first won the race before it was overturned, he just won by 6 lengths at Gulfstream on a very muddy track a few weeks ago. So you did your homework. That's why they were the favorite. By the way, most of the field had some wet track experience, but maximum security had entered 4 races and won 4. Today was 5 out of 5, but then there was a thing called the objection. You know, there can be infractions, there can be inquiries. Two jockeys objected. You saw what happened. Now, if you were holding a ticket for maximum security, man, that's tough business. That's tough business. I heard someone yell out in the sports book, that's not fair. Well, like I said earlier, fair? That's what you pay your cab driver when you come to your destination. And look, the infraction was not intentional. And the stewards, they must have not seen anything because they didn't launch an inquiry. It took 18 long minutes, and then the next thing you know, Country House, who'd only won once in six starts, was crowned the champion of the Kentucky Derby. And what does that mean? It changed everything. It changed everything. Country House is 65-1. If you said, what the heck? Let's put $2 on Country House. He's 65-1. I don't know who's going to win this thing, but it'll pay the most. It paid you $133. If you plunk down $2 on an exacta, that's where you pick two horses. Okay, so you have Country House and Code of Honor finished first and second. You could play an exacta, put those two horses side by side. One can finish first or second or vice versa. $2, what did that bring back today? $3,000. You heard me right. Or you could play a trifecta. If you had Country House, Code of Honor, or Tacitus, 1-2-3, 3-2-1, 2-1-3, you get the drift. Put them in any order. It's called a trifecta. $2, $2. Paid $23,000.
Well, you would have had to have them boxed.
You would have had to have them boxed, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. We'd show you two times, probably would have paid $6 or what? $23,000.
Mm-hmm.
How does this happen? By the way, I think there were a lot of misgivings and misunderstandings as to what did this do to Las Vegas? Did the sports books get creamed? No, they didn't. Because here in Las Vegas, horse racing uses a system called parimutuel betting. And parimutuel betting is a system in which all the bets of a particular type are placed together in a pool. And the house takes its share, which is, in this case, is 18%. So all the payoff odds are calculated by sharing the pool among all the winning bets. And the winner, well, they're merely taking a portion of the pool, which is already established. In other words, in horse racing, bettors bet against each other, whereas in regular sports betting, you bet against the house. Now, parimutuel systems are used on horse racing, greyhound racing, highlie, typically sporting events that have a relatively short duration in which the participants finish in a ranked order. Plus, matchups, another reason the books, although I understand the Westgate did suffer a loss, but I don't know if they had a net loss or what it did to the balance sheet, because the only other way the books could have lost were on matchups. See, there were matchups. That was affected. Maximum security, because they were a favorite, they were, you know, five matchups. For instance, they were minus 105 against Tacitus, who they finished ahead of. All those are wiped off the board. Country House only had one matchup because of its long odds, 65-1, not that much interest. They were minus 150 against Master Fencer, who finished sixth. Now, so I, you know, the Vegas books didn't get hurt. That the best that I know of, because the matchups don't move the needle enough to impact balance sheets. Now, I'm hearing from my moles that some offshore books got killed because of the liability in what you're called fixed odds pools. In fixed odds betting, the bettor knows the odds they get when they place the bet. And odds can shift. So in other words, if you bet Country House this morning on your offshore account, you got them at probably 30-1. If you bet them closer to post time, you got them at 65-1. That's real money. This is going to be talked about for a long time. Let's get to a happier subject. Let's go to best bets, and you've been talking about it all show. Take us right to the city of brotherly love.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead, Bernie. I'm going to play Philly minus the 2 points in game four. Bernie, Philadelphia has not been out-rebounded in any of their eight playoff games. They haven't been out-assisted in any of their eight playoff games. And five out of their eight playoff games, they've won the block battle. They're like plus 97 in rebounds, plus 67 in assists, plus 16 in blocks. You have to win those areas. Those are your major stat lines. Nobody can do that right now against Philadelphia. If Toronto can't fix their problems in those areas, there is no way that they're going to beat Philadelphia. Siakam's out. I love Philadelphia, minus the two. Bernie, I don't think this even goes seven games. I think it's over in six at most. Toronto's in a lot of trouble.
You mentioned Siakam being out. How does Toronto replace that 22-7?
There's no way that they can. Their bench isn't doing it right now. Fred Van Fleet is a no-show.
Oh, my goodness.
He's their best player off the bench. So give me Philly as my best bet in the next game.
All right. The best bet is going to take us to Monday. I want you to get on the Boston Celtics in the first half. They're just laying one. Look, they've still got closers. They've got Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward. They beat this team last year. What do closers do? They make a play. They don't worry about running a play. They make a play. They'll make a Monday. I like Boston minus one in the first half. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas. Before I go anywhere, I really want to thank my crew. These guys do a fantastic job helping me set up the show and manage the show. So let's say thank you to Eric Roberts, Brian Finley, Iowa Sam, Sam Kinsley, and Chris Perfitt, the new member of the team. He's sleepy. I'm Bernie Fratto. Don't go anywhere. Up next, the man from Nashville, Jason Martin. It's the Jason Martin Show.